You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Grecian's Gossip. We've got a full house this afternoon. David Byram.
Hello.
Jamie Hawkins.
Hello.
Ollie Heptonstall. And Dan Clark.
Hello.
Right, a few matters to discuss. Now, we should start by saying we do appreciate that the main talking point today, the Wednesday afternoon as we're recording this, is David Wheeler's impending transfer to QPR and Jadon Stockley's imminent arrival at Exeter City. However, we're not going to discuss those too much simply because this will have all unravelled by, say, Thursday afternoon. And for those of you listening, say, on Friday, or Saturday, it may well be sort of old news or things may have changed significantly since then. So instead, we're going to focus very much on the game at the weekend and the midweek match and the victory over Cheltenham instead. On that note, David, victory away to Cheltenham. Good result, 3 points in the bag, I suppose, at the end of the day.
When you're 2-0 down after 10 minutes, any point is a good result to take. Yeah. So to take all three was really impressive. And that you know, City said they started off quite well. I wouldn't go that far. I thought defensively they were very poor in the first 10 minutes and found themselves deservedly 2-0 down. Cheltenham came out like a house on fire and moved the ball very well, and City couldn't really cope. But yeah, they sort of just weathered the storm, got back into it slowly, and Paul Tisdale said that, and I quite agree, the next goal was always important. Christie even pulled off a good save to prevent it from being 3-0, and then at that point you're thinking, if City can score now at any point in the game, it will set up like a, you know, they might be able to get something from this. And then key Jordan Moore Taylor curling in a brilliant free kick, and Ruben Reid equalising just before half time. Well, like, controversially, I didn't think that should have stood because Jake Taylor headed the ball towards the goal and it's clearly handball from the Cheltenham player inside the box, and the rules state there that you should actually, you can't play advantage there, and the ref should have blown for a penalty in my book, although that's a very controversial contrarian opinion with the tongue firmly on my cheek. But yeah, and then almost similar second half. Cheltenham started quite well in the second half, but you know, they weren't able to score, and City, through Jake Taylor, took advantage of an awful defensive error from a Cheltenham player who was sent off, and they went ahead immediately, made it, went two goals up with a brilliant piece of counter-attacking football. You know, I think it was four passes from the edge of their own box to Jake Taylor chipping the ball over the keeper, and a sloppy goal conceded late on to make it 4-3. But overall, I think City good value for the 3 points.
I was going to ask, was it a deserved result, do you think? Deserved 3 points?
On balance, probably. I think Cheltenham, you know, being 2-0 up, might come away thinking they should have at least taken a point from that. But I think when you look at the second half performance, I think City definitely deserved at least something from the game, yeah.
Mm. Jamie, what do you make of the result? I mean, I suppose it's almost slightly un-Exeter City-like, given some of the results we've had this season. You know, they haven't necessarily scored many, but haven't conceded many either. And then
yeah, it was kind of like the Lincoln game last week, like I said afterwards, you know, and didn't play particularly well, but still got the result, and it's kind of similar to Cheltenham. But, you know, scoring four goals, it was quite a difference to the previous weeks. All relatively well-worked goals as well, I thought. You know, I guess the first one was Moore Taylor's, of course, superb goal, and then Reid's was, you know, a bit of a tap-in, but the penalty was a very good one from Reid, and then that counter-attacking goal was great football. So, you know, it's positive signs. You know, I've said before that it was worrying perhaps not taking the chances and maybe struggling a little up front, but with Maka Linden, but I thought he was outstanding on Saturday. Ran his socks off. He's formed a good partnership with Reid, I think. And, you know, it's looking good at the moment. You know, and again, like we said after the Lincoln game, like as Tisdale said, you know, last season wouldn't have won that game after you know, what happened, but it's that ability to win and score goals whilst playing not particularly well, which again was sort of shown at Cheltenham on Saturday. I thought they weren't a great side, Cheltenham. I think they might struggle again this season, but capitalise on their mistakes, and yeah, it keeps the run going.
And top of the league as well.
Yeah, that doesn't happen very often. Me and Ollie were saying yesterday, doing a story about the last times it's happened, it doesn't happen that often. So me and quite a few people were quick to screenshot the table full time.
When was the last time it happened?
Was it 2007?
Yeah, wow. Conference. Yeah, at Droylsden.
We had a question from Rebecca Shepherd asking what was said in the huddle when City were 2-0 down. Now, I don't think any of us actually know what was said in the huddle when they were 2-0 down, but Dave, you were saying that Tiz was very impressed with how the team came back.
Yeah, I'm sure it probably wouldn't be family friendly what was said. Paul Tisdale just mentioned how impressed he was with the way the team came together off their own back at 2-0 down. While Cheltenham are off celebrating, you know, Jordan Wartaylor, the proper captain type thing, called the team together and basically, I think, just said, look, this isn't good enough. And, you know, they, rather than everyone blaming each other, it was a case of, you know, let's pull together and try and get back into this one.
Mm. If we listen to Paul Tisdale, he had something to say after the Cheltenham game, so we'll give him a listen now.
Yeah, it was a good recovery from 2-0 down. Was it 10 minutes or 15
minutes?
Minutes,
I think.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say well done to the team and the squad and the staff and everyone else. We kept our nerve. I have to say, I thought we started really well. I mean, it does sound a little bit odd when you're 2-0 down after 10 minutes, but you get a feeling on the bench from how your team is focused and the confidence in them, and I thought they looked really pretty good for that first 10 minutes. They scored from a really, really good cross. The first one was an exceptional cross, what seemed to be from where I stood. And you have to give credit to the opposition. They'd done something in their preparation to try to work that wide right position. And they capitalised, and that's, you know, well done to Gary and his coaches for that. But maybe in other years I would have immediately changed something and tried to. But I didn't feel we needed to. I think we needed just to stand firm. And I like the way the team got together after we conceded that second goal. I was really impressed with that.
It was a bit about your resolve then, wasn't it?
Yeah, nerve really. I don't think we had to do anything. It wasn't even like I didn't even feel we were backs against the wall. It was two sort of very nicely worked goals, and we hadn't been under the cosh either. So it was a really nice response. I think it was about scoring the next goal, because I said to Andy Tilson, who I stood with, I don't mind whether it's the 24th minute, 44th minute, or the 84th minute. We've got to score the next goal, so we don't have to go and chase it too soon. It's just we changed Lee Holmes and Jake Taylor over because we thought that was an issue, and Jake's just so versatile in his delivery of information and gave Lee a crack at their left back, and you know we got our rewards down that right hand side through Lee, and we stopped their attacking down the right hand side, and second half. Then was a 0-0 start again, wasn't it? It was 2-2, and we were able just to start again in the second half and build our performance through that second half.
We were saying on commentary that great if you get one before half time, but actually if it went an hour and it was 2-0, it wouldn't make an awful lot of difference. But to get two before half time, you had the impetus then, didn't you?
Yeah, we thought it would be a difficult first 15 minutes. It was. We were a little bit untidy coming out second half. We defended well, broke, and two or three times we had really great opportunities to take the game another 30, 40 yards and gave it away too easy. And it was a little bit frustrating, but we're still early in the season and not the point yet where I'm going to start being too precious about all those things. But we had really good discipline. I thought the midfield two were exceptional. Lloyd and Jordan Tilson were absolutely brilliant as a pair. And then that gave, because we had two in there, and in past years we've had three, but we had two, it means we could have two strikers. And it was the two strikers which stood out. Anyone watching today, we noted how well Ruben and Liam played as a partnership, and it bodes well.
There we go. That was Paul Tisdale after the Cheltenham game. Now moving on, we have obviously had another game since then, the Chequeche Trophy game against Yeovil in midweek. Dan, you're at that game,
yes.
I understand.
Yep.
What did you make of it?
It was obviously
it's the Checker Trade Trophy, so it's I suppose it's at the bottom of the list of priorities. But I suppose it was still a little disappointing that they couldn't keep the good home form going and lost that game, because Yeovil, they weren't a great side. I mean, all three goals that Exeter concede, they're individual errors. I mean, that shouldn't happen to Archibald Henville, probably at fault for the first two goals. Third goal, I mean, young Harry Kite gets beaten far too easily in the right back position, and the shot goes straight through James Heyman in the goal. All three were avoidable, really, and I think Exeter were the better side last night. Probably on the on the balance of game, probably deserved to win the game, you'd feel, but Yeovil took their chances and Exeter didn't take their chances. It's going to be tough to progress from the competition now, and it could be tough to draw the crowds in for the last group game against the Chelsea reserves in late November or early December, whenever it is. But I mean, I suppose there are some positives. I mean, we saw a start and a first goal for Jack Sparks, and he was one of a number of youngsters who actually sort of impressed last night, put together good performances. I think Alex Byrne had a decent game in the centre of midfield. Harry Kite looked pretty good. As a youngster, sort of didn't know a lot about him, but a lot of energy, always willing to show for the ball. Matt Jay, sort of up front, it was a lot of effort. Sort of, he put himself about a bit there. Sort of, sort of linked up reasonably well actually up front. So, I mean, the performance-wise, a lot of the youngsters actually, they stepped up. They put together a decent performance. It's just, I mean, it's it is the Checker Trade Trophy, but it is still a shame to lose any game of football, particularly one that there is a bit of prize money and a trip to Wembley at the end of it for.
Mm. It's interesting. I mean, you rightly said, Checker Trade Trophy realistically isn't massively high on the list of priorities, but still a competitive match at home. I mean, is there any chance it could derail things slightly for City, or is that a bit of an overreaction?
You hope not. You look past it and you sort of think, okay, got a new port at the weekend. The last game, well, we won at Cheltenham on Saturday. You think that's your last game rather than the loss to Yeovil in midweek. I mean, it was a much changed side. There were six changes made anyway, then a seventh change essentially made early on due to Luke Kroll's injury. A lot of players sort of playing out of position by the end of it. It did feel a little bit more that it wasn't, it was a case of, I'm going to give these guys 90 minutes, and if they play out of position, they play out of position. I mean, Alex Byrne's probably not going to play at left back again this season, as he did for the last half hour. But it was, you wouldn't have thought it was, it wasn't too damaging. It wasn't a complete thrashing. It wasn't, taken apart by a better side. It was just a game win which they took their three chances and Exeter didn't take their chances. You'd hope it wouldn't sort of derail any momentum. In fact, you've got another home game on Saturday to, get back on the horse, so to speak. And if you pick up 3 points against Newport, no one will remember the midweek loss to Yeovil.
Mm-hmm. Jamie and David, I'll ask you both this. I mean, Jack Sparks, Dan's mentioned a host of the young players, but Jack Sparks seems to be one who's sort of currently catching the eye. Very young, I think 16 still, am I right in saying?
Yeah.
What kind of role, if any, could he actually have this forthcoming season? How good do you actually think he is?
I think out of all the youngsters, he'll have the biggest role to play. I think that's evident just by him being given the number 31 shirt, which is obviously something Paul Tizzo uses to bring players into his squad. I can see him, especially being a year older than Ethan Ampadu who was last year, so he's not got GCSEs to worry about. I think he could have, I think he'll be in and around the squad. He might not play every single game or anything like that, but he last night he perhaps showed his age a little at times, just against a physical Yeovil defence, but he doesn't look out of place in League Two, I wouldn't have said. So I can see him being involved a fair bit.
It's quite remarkable. 16, isn't it, playing senior football? I can't remember exactly what I was doing at 16, but playing professional football wasn't particularly high up on the list. But Jamie, do you think he's the real deal?
Yeah, he's looked very promising so far. I mean, he's Tisdale hasn't shown he's afraid to to throw him in at the deep end, so to speak. You know, he came off at Swindon a couple of weeks ago in quite a big game against a good side away from home. But then, you know, Tisdale's always been careful throwing in these young players. You know, I think fans might assume, right, he's the next big thing, he's got to play every week. But I think Tisdale's going to be like, no, you need to take your time with him, because he's only 16, you know, he's probably not, you know, perhaps used to this sort of level if he's training with the first team, quite different to how the youth team works. Which doesn't mean to say he won't be involved in most matchday squads. You know, I think he's been on the bench for most of the games. So, you know, I think it might take a while before he becomes a, you know, a regular first team player. But it'd be great to see him involved on Saturday after scoring on Tuesday. I didn't go to the game, but obviously it's great to see him to start and to score, of course, his first senior goal. So yeah, it'd be great to see him involved on Newport. Perhaps he might, I don't know, probably be on the bench again, because if you look at the attack, you know, you've got Holmes there at the moment, McLean and Reid. It's quite a strong attack still, you know, perhaps Stockley coming in and Moxie coming back. So it's going to be quite difficult to break into that team. But if he carries on the way he's going, it won't be long before he becomes a regular starter, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, looking ahead to the weekend, Exeter City against Newport County, first versus second in League Two. Ollie, how big a game do you think it is at this stage of the season?
I think it's a big game, definitely. I think Newport, we saw last season, came to SJP, won 1-0, and you know, it was when they had that resurgent run at the end of the season, and they scored an early goal, kind of parked the bus a little bit, and looked really defensively solid, even with Scott Bennett at centre back. But yeah, they're a good team, much improved, like the Grecians, and it'll be a real test against a side who will, you know, let the Grecians come at them rather than attack them.
Mm. Dan, how can you see that one panning out?
I mean, I think everyone's a little bit surprised that Newport are up this part of the table. I mean, obviously they survived the back end of last season in a great escape, but obviously they had to play the first three or four games away from home due to the pitch works as well. You'd kind of feel they might have struggled, but to be up there at this stage, having played, I think, three of their four games away from home, you know, suggests that they might be a little bit of a, you know, a better side than people were giving them credit for, and they've carried on that momentum that saw them stay up last year into this season. I mean, would we expect Newport to be there at the end of the season? Perhaps not, but they've started well, they're in good form, they've, you know, scored a few goals this season. You know, I suppose it's a big game for Exeter, because you know, they know that if they win, then they're still going to be top of the league for another week at the very least, and I suppose that's where you want to be. You want to get these points on the board, and you know, particularly if everyone beating everyone else in this division, you can sort of, you know, if you can build a little bit of a gap so that you're in a situation that even if you lose a game, you can't drop out of the automatic promotion spots, and you know, sort of get ahead of the crowd a little bit, like what Doncaster and Carlisle did last season. Carlisle collapsed at the end of the season, obviously going out in the playoffs at Exeter, but they were so far ahead at one stage that even though after Christmas they really struggled to get any wins together, they still had enough points to get in the playoff. Doncaster, again, they sort of fell away right at the end of the season, but they were far enough ahead that even though they lost, I think, quite a lot of their late games, they still got automatic promotion. If you can get the points on the board early on, you've got a situation that even if you do go for a sticky, you know, run of form, you know, go maybe three or four games without a win, you know, you're not actually going to drop out of the top three, drop out of the playoff positions, and you know, when you can turn it around again, you will still be, you know, picking up those points, getting those wins on the board, and you're ahead of the game almost, so to speak, if you can get points on the board early.
Mm. David, is this, I guess that they always say the league table never lies, but is this the two best teams in the division?
I think it's impossible to say at this stage. I'm not sure, you know, you could perhaps bill it as first versus second, but realistically it's too early to call it anything like that, I think.
From both teams' perspective, or...?
Yeah, in a way, you know, at the moment, Paul Tisdale has said this is a, you know, a solid foundation, and that is all it is, to be honest, you know. If they don't win another game all season, they'll get relegated, so you can't really crow too much about being top of the league at this stage. So, I mean, I think it'll be an interesting test for City against a side who are in good form. I came up with a stat that Newport, under Michael Flynn, have taken 32 out of 48 points, which isn't bad going, especially considering how bad they were under Graham Wesley. So, you know, it's an interesting test against a side in good form. I'm not sure you could really call it first versus second, especially when I think there's three or four teams on 8 points with Newport. So it's even too early to say it's the pace setters in a way. But yeah, I mean, a win would be a massive boost for City, and perhaps, you know, then he might be able to build it as first versus second and say, well, we won that one.
Well, I mean, looking at how City will line up will be very interesting for obvious reasons. As we said earlier, it does look like David Wheeler will be on his way to QPR, and Jaden Stockley coming in. Jamie, I mean, how can you see Tiz playing? I mean, will it literally just be like for like?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're starting to see his strongest team. You know, him and goal, the solid back four of Sweeney, Moore, Taylor, Brown, Woodman. I know he does change it up sometimes, switch to three at the back. You know, attacking wise, Reed and McAlinden, I think, will retain their starting places. Obviously, it depends on injuries with Moxie and Harley. I think they're still going to be out for a bit. That will be back for Saturday. So, you know, you're going to be looking at Holmes again, and James and Tilson, who have formed quite a strong midfield partnership. So, you know, would Stockley fit in? I mean, obviously, he was spotted at the ground on Tuesday night. Don't know what the situation is with him at the moment. So yeah, I'd pretty much expect a similar side to the one that won at Cheltenham on Saturday. Don't know if any of the youngsters would have done enough to start. I think Sparks will probably be on the bench again with the likes of Matt Jay and Byrne again, as they have been previously. But yeah, I wouldn't see many eyebrows raised at the team sheet on Saturday.
Well, you're nodding vigorously.
Yeah, I agree with Jamie, actually. I'm not sure Stockley will start. He hasn't played, I don't think. You probably know, Davey, he hasn't played much for Aberdeen this season.
Hasn't played at all this season.
Hasn't played at all.
In the Europa League?
That was last season.
That was last season.
I don't think he's going to be match fit to start, so we could see him on the bench, make a cameo appearance. And yeah, Reed and McAlinden look to have got a really good partnership up front, so I think it would be silly to change that at this point, especially with the Grecians still unbeaten in the league.
Mm. How urgently do you think City need, or could do with, having Moxie and Harley back? And I guess Moxie's a little bit of an unknown quantity, having not played recently. But, you know, those two players, these injuries have dragged on a little bit, haven't they?
Yeah, I think Harley's, you know, gets derided a little bit by some fans, but he is a very clever player. He's intelligent on the ball. Tisdale was saying he tracks back and blocks off the spaces brilliantly. And he can dictate the tempo, and there's not many players in the squad in that midfield role who can dictate play. I'm not sure Lloyd James is particularly good at it. Tilson's quite limited, wins the ball well, but Harley has got a, you know, quite a unique role in that he can dictate the play. And, you know, with Dean Moxie as well, Woodman's the only real left back there at the moment. Kroll and Moore Taylor could play there, but we know Moxie is a real talent, and he can play left midfield as well. So the sooner he gets back, the better, I think.
Well, we've had a couple of questions in. Exeter City polls us, how would you rate some of the youngsters that played against Yeovil? Will they play much role this season? I think we've probably already covered that one. But also, Anthony Beveridge, he asks, how does Stockley fit into the way we play, and can you play him, Reed and McAlinden in a front three? Dan, I guess we've already addressed whether Stockley may or may not play this weekend, but longer term, assuming Stockley does come in and Wheeler's on the go, how can you see that working?
I think you can see them perhaps as a front three, so to speak. I mean, almost sort of in the same kind of role that we saw, you know, the first game of the season, really, with McAlinden wide on the left, Stockley wide on the right, Ruben Reed down the middle as a front three, with then perhaps a midfield you're looking, you know, Taylor, Tilson, James or Harley once he's fit. That's possibly a way you can do it. You sort of could almost sort of use, you know, David Wheeler was sort of playing as a wide kind of striker more than an out-and-out winger, so to speak. And, I mean, Jaden Stock, he's got the attributes to play that role as well. He's tall, he's big, he's quite good in the air, can win those, you know, physical battles against the left back. You know, we often seen next to get the ball, and it's a long diagonal ball out to the right wing, you know, to get those attacks going. Jaden Stockley's got the game to be able to play out there, to win those headers, to flick it in, bring sort of Ruben Reid and Liam McAlinden into the game. I mean, you could always change, you know, if you needed to change it up, Stockley and Reid up as a big man partnership, and McAlinden could shift onto the left of the four if necessary as well. I mean, you know, perhaps might three up Ruben Reid a little bit more. Obviously, he's had to be the big sort of target man, so to speak. You know, at the minute, if Stockley comes into the side and he can sort of do that role, occupying defenders, it can allow Ruben Reid to be a little bit more of a poacher as well. You know, sort of, you know, making those darts in behind, making those runs that the minute he's not able to do because there's nobody else who's going to hold the ball up and allow him to, you know, to make those runs. But I mean, I can see Reid and McAlinden, they've started well as a partnership, but you can see, you know, Stockley off the three is probably the best of the three strikers. So, you know, particularly if Exeter are spending money on Jaden Stockley, they're not spending money on him to sit on the bench. You feel that maybe in a week or two's time, once he's gained his full fitness, he's going to be the first name on the team sheet in terms of an attacking lineup, and, you know, as and the rest is almost going to have to fit around him rather than, you know, Stockley just, you know, being an option. We don't want to break up, you know, what looks like a decent partnership. You know, Stockley is going to start, you feel, and it'll be up to others to force their way back into the side ahead of him.
Mm-hmm. No, good point. David, the final word. Yeah, can you see Tisdale kind of fitting Stockley in come what may?
To an extent, yeah, I think he you know, if he's anything like the same player that left City after his loan about a year and a half ago now, then, you know, I think he would be a key player. And I think him and Ruben Reid would actually make a good partnership up front. But then again, Liam McAlinden started the season well, as Dan said, so, you know, I can see it perhaps being that three up front with Reid in the middle, Stockley on the right and McAlinden on the left, because I think both McAlinden and Stockley, you know, they're good with their feet as well, so I think they could well play on the wing and, you know, just almost have that sort of triple goal threat up front in the same way they would if David Reid was there.
Excellent. Well, so we'll finish off just very quickly with a quick prediction of this weekend's game. David, how can you see that one panning out?
I'm going to go 1-1.
1-1. Jamie?
I think a tight game, not many goals. Another 1-0.
1-0 to
City.
Nervy 2-1
to City win. I'm going to stick with my 1-0 to City. It's served me well so far this season. So.
We're going for low scoring, pretty low scoring games, but we'll see. Right, well, thank you very much for joining us on Grecian's Gossip. And, well, join us next week when I'm sure we'll have plenty to discuss. And we'll see you then. See you then. See you then.
Wie had dat gedacht? Van shoppen in Milaan naar achter de koopjes aan. Gelukkig heeft Telfort smartpakkers. Niet het laatste model telefoon, maar wel de beste prijs. Dat is toch genieten?
Geniet ook zonder te veel te betalen met Telfort smartpakkers. Zoals de Samsung Galaxy S7 met 1 gig en 150 minuten. Nu voor maar €26,50 per maand. Doe je voordeel mee. Telfort.
Let op. Geld lenen kost geld.